Let us start with a new chapter today, the chapter focusing on training and development, learning and development. The broad objective of this chapter talks about why do we need training interventions at the international level? What are the areas of training? How can an organization develop leaders who can manage global roles? As a part of this chapter, we're going to focus on how learning and development as a function can increase your visibility, can generate more revenue, and at the same time, it can create a good goodwill for you in the market. And that's the reason today learning and development becomes one of the crucial function every organization focuses upon. Something I personally believe is the day you stop learning is the day you stop growing. That's the reason, friends, please focus on this chapter, because here the focus is on your self-development, organizational development, because at the end, once you develop as an organization, obviously you're able to develop the organization's capability. At the same time, from an international HRM point of view, this particular chapter focuses a lot on development, because at the end, if you're able to add some value to your organization, if you're able to add some value for your own self-development, a combination of both of this will definitely will be a rock solid combination, and obviously you'll be able to flourish further. This chapter particularly focuses on these seven parameters, these seven broad points. First, the need of training in international assignments, the cultural adjustments, cross-cultural training methods, impact of cross-cultural training, the role of HR, particularly into expats training, developing leaders to global manager roles, global roles as a part of the organizational development strategy, and of course, a broad summary of what we're going to discuss at the end of this chapter. This is what the complete focus would be on the chapter training and development. Point number one, chapter number one, the sub part of this particular chapter focuses on the need of training in international assignment. When somebody is joining an international organization, of course, they are very much part of the entire process, the entire business. And that's the reason from a training and development point of view, there is a lot of need. There is definitely a demand wherein people, expats like us, are part of international assignment is what the whole focus is for current chapter. According to the survey, which you see on my screen, you know, Brookfield had mentioned in 2012, which is 2012, the relocation trend survey, despite of periodic industry reports for large percentage of assignment ending prematurely. Respondents also reported that only 6% of assignments were incomplete due to assignee returning early, which is almost up to 2% from 4% in 2011. But almost equal of the historical average. So what we're trying to mention here is, as a part of this survey, it was clearly mentioned that a lot of people from an international assignment point of view has responded that only 6% of assignments were incomplete due to the assignee returning early. At the same time, 2% was the gap wherein initially from 2% from 4% it was at 2%, and that's how in 2012 from 6% is at 6%, whereas in last year there was a decline by 2%, and that's how it was from 4%. So from 4% in 2012 it was 6%, and this was one of the findings as a part of their survey. The top reason for early returns continue to be family concerns. Although it has decreased slightly from 2011, reportedly from 34% to 33%, it has still remained the top reason by at least 10%, sometimes as high as 15%, since the question was first asked 7 years ago. And that's what this graph clearly mentions of the reasons why expats are not able to do justice to this particular role. We'll definitely try to understand what exactly went wrong, what was the learning outcomes of this particular survey. And of course, the graph clearly mentions about the top reasons by which early returns continue to be one of the concerns. And of course, family concerns is one of the top priorities, top reasons for people to be not be able to do more justice to it. At the same time, the survey also mentions that the reasons for premature return from international assignments are, you know, somewhere all these statistics talks a lot, because typically for an international assignment, when somebody is, you know, working as an expat, all these challenges clearly are visible, and this percentage difference definitely adds up a lot to the reasons for which premature returns, or from the, you know, or the early exits, or you know, the early completions of assignments are a few of the reasons which we need to focus upon. And this is what the Global Relocation Report talks from the Brookfield study, the report in 2012. Since the cost of sending an expat to an international assignment is high, for the first year has been estimated to cost at least three times the employee's domestic salary as per the annual salary study, which was done in the year 1999. And that's the reason, if you see, a lot of cost is involved, because when you hire an expat from a home location, or then you hire somebody at an international location, the difference is three times higher cost when somebody is traveling to a international location, particularly when you hire an expat. And that's the reason a lot of cost has been one of the important parameters, where the expat definitely are available in an open market, but the challenge is the cost is definitely high for the first first year of the assignment. There is, however, evidence that many international multinational corporations do not offer their expats any form of cross-cultural training, neither before departure nor after the arrival. And that's the reason there is a need for having a training and development function to focus more on people development, ensuring that a lot of cultural sensitivity is created. And as a part of international human resource management, definitely there's a lot of scope, there's a lot of value addition which we as a HR team, we as expats, we all as international HRM students can see the visibility, and we can offer many solutions to the expats, to the organization, which can definitely help to develop further. And that's the reason, as a part of the multinational corporations, many of the organizations today are focusing on lot of cross-cultural training, lot of development from a learning and development person. That's the reason today a lot of focus is there to the personal development. But yes, I also strongly agree, and I would definitely support many organizations to come out and create more international development initiatives, come out with wonderful interventions, so that the employee, particularly expat, is aware and he is sensitized from the before the arrival or before the departure of the international assignment. As the expat, they need to understand that a lot of cross-cultural training is required either before the departure or after the arrival. And if there is a gap, definitely the gap has to be bridged, because if the expat is able to add value to it, if the expat is able to understand how he can add more value in the international global assignment, it will help the organization to flourish further and develop further. For few of the companies who do not offer, for few of the companies that do offer training, most of it consists of a very short informal briefing sessions before the departure. And this is also one of the reasons why the expats who have been offered an international assignment find it very difficult, because from a value addition point of view, it's very important for them to understand what's in it for me. If I'm able to do justice to it, if the expat is able to understand that this is what the assignment is all about, this is what my expectations are, this is what I need to deliver, it really creates a positive impact to your employee, a positive impact to your expats. And that's the reason it is very important to have a formal briefing. But many a times organizations today find some shortcut, or a short informal briefing sessions, which typically, is must needed, because there has to be a proper handholding of such cases, particularly from an international expat, value addition point of view. Due to this due to this reason, the expat and family are not prepared to face the cultural shock and adjustment period at the other country. And that's the reason, you know, this is one of the major contribution to the lack of sensitivity from an international expat point of view. Particularly if the employee is exposed to an international location without a formal hand-holding, definitely what we see here is a cultural shock, and the adjustment period at the international country is definitely going to be a time-consuming task. At the same time, the overall experience will not be fruitful, and of course, the expats and their family members and the employees working there will not be in favor of, you know, taking up some international assignments, taking up more job opportunities. And because if you see, a lot of gap is visible, and hence it is very important that we are preparing the expats well in advance to be able to face the cultural shock and understand and make proper adjustments as a part of their assignment, as a part of their day-to-day work activity, particularly in the country where they have been assigned to. The 2012 Brookfield Global Relocation Trend report clearly shows that 81% of the companies provided cross-cultural preparation for international assignments. The historic average was at 80%. Furthermore, 44% offered preparation on some assignment and 37% on all assignments. So here they are focusing on how organizations are focusing more on the cross-cultural preparation, on the cross-cultural training part from an international assignment point of view. And if you see, there is an increase from last year, which was at 80%. In 2012, it is at 81%. Of course, there's a marginal increase, but at the same time, this has also contributed to the overall trend of the global relocation policy. At the same time, it is also offered 44% more preparation compared to 37% of last year. That's the reason if you see both the years from 2011 to now at 2012, as per the survey, there is an increase, there is a shift, positive shift, from overall relocation, global relocation policy trend point of view. At companies where cross-cultural preparation was offered on assignments, 60% provided training for the entire family, 27% of the international assignee and spouse, and 8% for employees alone. This is also one of the important parameters, because here the focus is more on providing assignments, at the same time training for entire family. 60% of the population here provided complete training along with the family members, and 27% for international assignee and spouse, and 8% for employees itself. And this is where we need to sensitize our team members, our HR team, our employees, our cross-cultural department, that yeah, this is one of the need, because we need to sensitize our employees to be able to take up more and more global international assignments. 24% of respondents indicates that the training was mandatory, and 76% responded that it was optional. And this is where the moment you keep anything optional, it becomes difficult from an overall global compliance point of view. And hence, as a respondent, as a trainee, as an employee who is mandated to be able to complete their learning and development task, it is very, very critical for all the employees to complete that task. And that's the reason more and more employee participation, more and more expats to be involved into this, because this is one of the important parameters to be able to create that sensitivity, create that need for our employees to be able to make them ready for that global challenge, for that next shift, to be able to take up more and more assignment and create that cultural sensitivity within the organization from an overall expat policy point of view. The same survey also focuses that, you know, here what we see is we can clearly see the importance of training for an expat and his family members as most common assignments fail due to family or spouse issue. This has been one of the important criteria. If you see the graph, it clearly mentions why things did not work the way they were expected because of the lack of training, because the important part of that entire learning and development that expat missed it, and this could be because of the family pressure or any other reasons by which he or his family member were not able to create that value, that were not able to do justice to that role. And that's the reason it clearly mentions that this was because of the failure due to spouse or because of the family pressures or any other internal issues. At the same time, and since most of the companies do offer training, it is essential that the same is extended to the family and spouse as well in order to make the training more effective and for overseas assignments to be more successful from a long-term point of view. And that's the reason, let's not only focus on the employee or one particular person of that group to be able to create that value addition from an overall expat policy point of view. It is also equally important for organizations to sensitize their employees, sensitize their family members. If required, please have separate sessions for spouse and their family members, particularly children, so that you are able to create that overall sensitivity, the overall, you know, need of learning and development from a cultural sensitivity point of view. And that's the reason many organizations fail in this particular part, because they do not create that awareness. There is a lack of sensitivity, and hence many expats find it very difficult because their spouse, their family members are not able to cope up with the stress. Hence, it is very important for each one of us to be able to add that value addition, create that sensitivity, and ensure that you are able to create more employment opportunities for your expats. And as a part of our policy and family planning, please involve your spouse, please involve your family members also, so that there will be some value addition and people will look forward to work with you, particularly if you're working for an international location from an expat point of view. And that's the reason a proper training and development plan is the need of an hour. And that's the reason this is also one of the reasons why overseas assignments are successful, because of involvement, participation, and creating that sensitivity for our employees. Because at the end, if you are able to create that sensitivity, if you're able to create that importance of training in your expats and their family members, definitely more and more assignments will come to you, and issues pertaining to family members and spouses can be handled effectively. Because if you're able to take care of your employees, take care of your expats positively, they will be able to respond. And obviously, the gap, the communication gap, the cultural gap will be minimized. And overall, from an expat policy point of view, we will be able to create more value addition from overall, you know, success of our overseas assignment. Now that we have spoken about our first chapter, which was on need of an international assignment, let's move to the next chapter, which focuses on the cultural adjustment. Beautifully, this has been explained. You know, if you see, there's a roller coaster which is there in front of you, and that's the reason when there's a honeymoon period, the employee is enjoying that particular space because he is excited, he's looking forward to an international assignment. But the moment, if you go down from a, you know, from a complete cultural shock point of view, that entire journey, when there is a downfall, there is a cultural shock. The expats are finding it difficult because they are not able to adjust from an overall adaptability point of view, and hence you need to create that balance between the employee at work and the employee, the expats who are working at respective location. There has to be a proper balance between the family and the employees, the expat. And that's the reason this particular slide clearly defines the gap, typically the cultural adjustment we need to focus upon, so that you are able to bridge that gap and you are able to manage both the ups and downs and the adjustments from a overall cultural adjustment point of view. As an employee who's sent to a foreign country on a long-term assignment, an expat will in most of the cases need time to adjust to the new circumstances. Of course, since it's a new assignment, new country, you are not exposed to the culture, to the overall adaptability, the cultural sensitivity of the new location. Obviously, it takes time. The expat needs some time to be able to adjust to the new culture, to the new circumstances. In many cases, the expat brings his or her spouse and children, and since the family will live into the country just as long as the expat the country, the whole family will have to adjust to the general environment and learn more on how to interact with the host location. And that's the reason today, when an expat brings his spouse, his family, his children as a part of the expat policy, it is very important that we not only train the expat, we also create that sensitivity, we also create that value addition, we also create that environment in such a way that the employee is definitely able to take care of his daily livelihood. At the same time, the spouse and the children of the expat are also able to do some good work as a part of our overall employee connect programs, lot of cultural programs, a lot of CSR, corporate social responsibilities program. That's going to keep them involved. And that's the reason, from an overall general environment point of view, you will be able to connect with them, and the host locations, nationals of that particular location will be able to connect well with each other, is what the whole objective is. The expat will also have to adjust to the new work conditions, and that's the reason the cultural adjustments are one of the important part of our discussion from the foreign country and the host location multinationals point of view. Now, if you see the U curve, which clearly mentions, there's a trend where initially it is at peak, where the employee joins the organization, he's finding everything goody-goody about it, he's very happy, and then there's a complete sudden dip because of the cultural shock. And that's the reason, when there's a cultural shock, a lot of programs, a lot of realignments, a lot of assignments, adjustments happen. And that's the reason, when that push is done, when that visibility is there as a part of their learning and development culture, as a part of their daily, day-to-day work activity, there's a shift again. And that's how, if you see, you all, from that complete down of the cultural shock after the honeymoon period, there are a lot of adjustments which happen, and then everything comes back to normal, and that's how you develop that mastery. This is how beautifully this U curve explains how that shift helps the organization to develop their policies in such a way that they are able to adjust to that U curve. The adjustment process can be divided into several steps or phases. Very oftenly, it's been displayed as the U-shaped curve, where the expat first enjoys the situation, because of course he's looking forward to this particular assignment. He's really, really positive about how value addition, how he can create that difference. But then suddenly, because of this entire realignment, it finds, the cultural shock happens and the curve goes down. And that's from being an exotic culture, in an exotic culture, then realizes that the degree of adjustment that is necessary before slow and adaption takes place. And that's the reason the curve which we see on the screen beautifully explains how initially they are very excited to take up the role, they are very happy to take up that particular part of their overall learning and development curve, but then there's a sudden dip in the curve because of a lot of reasons, particularly family related issues and expat related issues, particularly the children, their family members, and that's how they find it a little difficult initial period. But once they learn this particular mastery, once they are culturally adjusting to that environment, they find it positively, and then they will be able to do more work, more positive work. At the same time, they will be able to do justice, and that's how your work-life balance also takes place as a part of our expat policy. The U-curve honeymoon phase, typically, it has been described for the first four phases as a part of our honeymoon A U-curve honeymoon phase typically describes the first of four phases of a period of fascination where little contact is taken with locals and only polite and gracious way. These are the parameters typically happens in the initial period of the U-curve honeymoon phase, which was described by Oberg in 1960. A very important person would often be met with great respect and treated well, only getting into the opportunity to see good side of the new culture. Here, what we are focusing here is the part of the entire learning curve. They are exposed to new culture. They are able to take up new assignments, lot of opportunities to see the good part of the new learning culture. The phase is also called as honeymoon phase and only lasts until the individual starts to experience day-to-day life, because till that particular period, now that they have just entered to the market, they may find it very initially very, very happy because they are getting exposed to a new culture. But slowly and steadily, once the entire day-to-day activity starts happening, they realize that, okay, this is not going to be last for a long time. And that's how their day-to-day experiences tells them that these are the challenges they need to focus upon. It is sometimes referred to the tourist phase or a spectator phase, because here they are exploring the new opportunities, the new challenges, and they are learning from their overall day-to-day activities from an expat's life point of view. Many circumstances affect the duration of this phase, and it may last only from only a couple of days or weeks or 6 months. Then the honeymoon phase usually ends, and 2 months after arrival, which is typically one of the studies which was done by Black and Gregson in the year 1991. So typically, when we are referring to honeymoon phase, it is typically a phase where they are exploring that entire learning culture. They are understanding the new organization, they are understanding a new culture, they are understanding a new location, as a part of their expat learning process. But gradually, as and when the day starts, when you get into their day-to-day work activities, in a couple of weeks, typically between few weeks to 6 months, they realize that this is where my honeymoon period is going to end, and I need to get back into action to ensure that whatever deliverables I have, I should be able to do justice to it. The U-curve cultural shock, the happy, fascinating, and the problem-free first few days opens into steep term, typically a downward movement from the cultural shock, where the individual realizes the difficulties in adjustment. Till the time you are discussing, you find all the good things about the new assignments, and that's the reason from a honeymoon period point of view, it's at the peak from your learning process point of view, initial few days. But then suddenly when they get into their day-to-day activity, there's a complete steep curve which goes down, because here they realize that there's a lot of difficulty, lot of adjustments which they need to take care as a part of their day-to-day learning activities. The reason why culture shock happens are many, but typically it includes they can be concluded as a combination of these factors. Typically includes stress of a result of feeling obliged to make any adjustments, a sense of loss in regards to friends, status or possessions, when we are very, very obsessed about certain things, this is what we're referring to, being possessed about something, about any of these values, culture, or something which they're very, very, proud of, or they want, they have the lack of missing something, rejection by or against people from the host country, confusion in identifying or identifying the roles At the same time, roles and expectations mismatch, surprises, anxiety, and even disgust over cultural differences and feeling of incapability as a one of the important discussions wherein they are finding it incapable of coping with the new environment. These are few of the reasons by which why there is that steep curve which is going down, and that's the cultural shock which they experience as a part of their day-to-day activity. And there's a lot of stress, a combination of multiple factors. This could be because of the connection within your family members, outside your family members, the group in which you are working together, staying together, the friends, the status of your fellow employees, the status, the monetary status, the personal status, the way they have been upbringing, the entire upbringing process. At the same time, many a time, because of certain negative elements where they feel neglected, rejected, and at the same time, if they're not finding the overall experience in their host country fruitful, obviously they will find it a little difficult because the host country may not be able to do justice to what the expat is expecting or referring to. Hence, a lot of cultural sensitivity is required because a lot of expectations gap, there are a lot of surprises, anxiety, and the expat finds it very difficult because already he's exposed to a new culture, he's finding it very difficult to be able to cope up the stress. On top of it, they're also not able to do more positive good work because they find it difficult to be able to cope in the new environment. The cultural shock phase is normal as a part of a normal process where most of the majority of the expats experience, even the experienced expats who have been into many international assignments before. And then this is very common because at the end, when you are born and brought up in one particular location, one particular country, as a part of your expat journey, definitely they will find it difficult to be able to cope up to that stress, to be able to cope up to that assignment. And hence, it is very important for the employees to be able to create that cultural sensitivity as a part of their entire learning curve, particularly when we talk about the expat's learning culture. Let's talk about the U-curve cultural shock. What may start as minor thing in day-to-day, for example, trouble with school, transportations, local language, these are day-to-day silly things, I would say, which can be easily managed, but particularly from an expat's point of view, these day-to-day activities pile up and at the end, there's a big blast because they are not able to adjust to the new culture, to the new environment, and that's the reason may altogether evolve into something that can cause symptoms as anxiety, irritability, feeling of helplessness, and the desire to depend on other long-termers from the same country. And that's the reason this U-curve cultural shock is one of the deadliest parameter which anybody from an expat, from an international assignment point of view, need to be aware of, need to be sensitively handle such cases because these are very small, petty things which can actually create a major cultural shock for our employment, for our expats from a day-to-day learning point of view. Some people may leave the culture shock, the culture shock phase and stay hostile towards the host nationals in throughout the time of their assignment. And hence, if you see, they find it very difficult because they tie themselves in that particular cultural shock. And that's the reason they find it very, very hostile from their overall learning point of view. Other people who never learn to cope with the situation return home earlier or choose to only socialize with other expats until it is time to go home. And that's the reason if you see when two expats, a group of expats are working together, they find it a little difficult to be able to work positively as a team with the other host location, countries. And that's the reason many a time they're not able to cope up with that stress. And then when they are coming back to their home location, they find it a little difficult because at the end, your entire social index comes to, you know, comes into a learning challenge because here they are not able to socialize well. And as an expat, they find it difficult to be able to create that cultural, to be able to create that sensitivity wherein the U curve culture shock is definitely one of the important parameters for them to be able to understand from their entire expat learning process. The U-curve adjustment phase, for the expats who have decided to stay for a longer period from an adaptation point of view, can be expected, referred as the adjustment phase or basis on the study which was done by Black and Mendelin in the year 1991. It is also known as the recovery stage where the conformist phase where, here the focus is it constitutes typically as a third space. And hence, it is one of the important parameters from an overall phase point of view where the U-curve adjustment phase, typically the expat finds it difficult because this is definitely for a longer period, it's going to be there as a part of their adaptation, and hence it is difficult for them to adjust in an overall learning curve point of view. It is very important, and that's the reason the U-curve adjustment phase is one of the important phase we are discussing. A good way to cope up with the situation is to learn the local language or at least some of it, because at least if you're able to create that cultural sensitivity between you and the host location and the new location, you're able to understand the local language better. When you understand the local language, there is a good connect, a good bond between you and the host country, because that's how you'll be able to culturally bind with each other. And that's the reason this is one of the important practice for all the expats to understand at least a local language from a cultural adaptation point of view. Knowledge of the local language, knowledge of the local language does in most of the cases help the individual to understand the cultural codes, the different norms, behaviors, and understanding from a cultural pattern that can typically be, for a certain culture, when they are working closely with them, such patterns help them to understand the cultural code, the norms, the behaviors, the pattern, the social accepted norms, and that's how a knowledge of local language also helps the expat to create that cultural sensitivity, and of course, especially with their family members and the expat spouses, it helps them to bond further, bond well, and that's how a lot of cultural sensitivity helps the employee to develop that social accepted, cultural index point of view.